KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Park and Market in the heart of downtown San Diego, offering a flexible venue for meetings, conferences, and events of all sizes. Cityscape views, modern space, built-in AV, on-site staff, and no catering requirements. Details at parkandmarket.ucsd.edu.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, people voted for more police oversight, but new reporting from the UT says that's not happening. Kelly Davis joins us to explain why. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. The city's Commission on Police Practices was implemented in 2020 with the purpose to conduct its own investigations into claims of police misconduct. So why, 6 years later, does the city's Commission on Police Practices still lack many of the powers voters were promised? While a recent report raises concerns from stalled labor negotiations to staffing challenges and limited access to police records. Joining me now is Kelly Davis, who's out with the recent story all about that. She's a watchdog reporter at the San Diego Union-Tribune. Kelly, welcome back.
Hi, thanks, Jade.
And thanks for being here. So let me get this straight. In 2020, voters approved Measure B to create a more independent police oversight system. Take us back to that time, if you can. I mean, what was the goal with that measure?
Yeah, so the goal was to replace something called the Community Review Board, which had been around since 1988. And the job of the Community Review Board was just to review San Diego Police Department internal affairs investigations and decide whether to agree with their findings or disagree. Not much more than that. And so these were the department's own investigations that the review board was limited to that information. It also lacked subpoena power, so if it felt like it wasn't getting all the information it needed, there was no way to do that. And police advocate oversight advocates saw this as being insufficient. They authored Measure B, which sought to create a new commission that would have subpoena power and have the authority to conduct its own investigations, to go out and get its own information into police conduct, police misconduct allegations, investigate police shootings, excessive use of force, that sort of thing. And it was very successful. It was on the November 2020 ballot and passed easily with roughly 75% of the vote.
You mentioned subpoena power. For those who don't know, can you remind us what that is?
Yeah. So if they feel like they're not getting certain records, they can submit a subpoena to the police department and ask a court to order that the police department turn over that document or that information that they're trying to get.
Sounds like a pretty important change there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So earlier this month, I understand the San Diego County Civil Grand Jury released a report looking into the commission and where it's falling short. What are some of the biggest takeaways there?
Yeah, there are a couple things that the report got wrong. It said that the new Commission on Police Practices lacked an executive director and it lacked investigators. And those two things, I think because this was the very first report that the civil grand jury started collecting information on, which meant it was probably mid-2025. They didn't have that. A new executive director wasn't hired until January, and I think the investigators were hired relatively recently. So we'll overlook that. You know, there are just two things that jumped out at me. But they flagged that the commission's slow rollout. You know, 5 years and going on 6 years, stalled labor negotiations because in order for the Commission on Police Practices to take effect, it has to have operating procedures that need to be negotiated with every union, the police union, the city attorneys union. I believe there's one other city union that have to have a chance to sit down and negotiate over these new operating practices. So that hasn't happened. There's still the CPP has limited access to police records, delays in obtaining police information from the police department. So it's yeah. So the grand jury was just basically saying, these are things that have got to get moving if, and it's been way too long.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, we got stacking, lack of access to police records, labor negotiations. With all of those challenges in mind, what position does that put investigators in right now?
So what they are able to do something. In the interim, they continue to review internal affairs investigations. But another issue that's cropped up is that sometimes they feel like they're not getting all the information they're entitled to. They'll get a document, that document will refer to another document, and they'll say, hey, we never got this other document. So it becomes a whole thing to try to get that. And sometimes you don't know what. You don't know what you don't know, and it just creates delays. I talked to the new executive director. His name is Roger Smith. He said access is a problem. He said we don't receive everything in the first submissions that we get, and then they have to make follow-up requests to get the information that they need. And so these reviews have to be done within a year. So if you're having to go back and get new information, that's taking up very, very valuable time.
So, like you mentioned, that the Oversight Commission does have a new executive director, Roger Smith, correct? So,
Yes.
tell me more about that, and what's
Yeah.
his background, and why was he brought in at this particular moment?
Yeah, so he was hired in January. He has quite an extensive record in extensive background, more than 16 years in civilian police oversight. He's also worked on kind of the other side of the aisle. He's worked as a prosecutor in Manhattan, and he was an attorney for New York City's Department of Corrections. So a very, kind of wide swath of experience that I think someone in this position, someone needs to bring to this position, so you're not just seen as having a bias against police. You could say, if I was a prosecutor, I worked for the Department of Correction. He's got a great background. And this past weekend, he held a town hall, and he was very candid in what he thinks he needs to be done, and how quickly it needs to be done, and that this is what he's going to be fighting for: better access, getting the operating procedures up and going, and a good working relationship with the police department, so they're able to get those records that they need.
All of that said, what needs to happen for the commission to really operate as voters envisioned when they approved Measure B?
Yeah, so they have to they need that the state mandated process called meet and confer, the negotiation with the police unions. I think that one is going to take the longest. It hasn't started yet. I talked to the head of the police union. He said they have not received the operating procedures, a copy of the operating procedures yet. There seems to be, depending on who you talk to, there's various reasons how and why this happened. Are these delays intentional to undermine the commission? Or has there just been kind of this string of unfortunate holdups, that have caused, kind of gummed up this process. That's something that I want to be looking into because I've been hearing it from a lot of people that there's, kind of, something at work to make sure that the CPP doesn't, become what it's supposed to, what it was envisioned to
Yeah.
become.
Well, how does the Commission on Police Practices and all of its shortfalls fit into this broader story of police accountability in San Diego?
Yes, so both the city and the county have had police review boards for about 30 or so years, 25, 30 years. There have been just a series of attempts to undermine both boards. There have been lawsuits filed by the police unions to limit what information they can get, limit what they can release publicly, limit whether certain hearings can be open to the public. CLRB, that's the county's Law Enforcement Review Board, the deputies do not have to sit down, the deputies who are being investigated do not have to sit down for an interview with CLRB investigators. They only have to fill out like a survey, like a written questionnaire, and they don't have to answer follow-up questions. So that is just a really, when you think of how a thorough investigation should go, because these deputies, they do have to talk to their supervisors about what happened, but when it comes to oversight, they do not need to speak to the oversight investigators. So I think that we've seen a lot of instances where that's led to a really incomplete investigation with lots of lingering questions.
Your reporting is always so revealing. I have been speaking with Kelly Davis. She's a watchdog reporter for the San Diego Union-Tribune. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Jade. I appreciate it.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Rug Expo. For over 30 years, Rug Expo has served San Diego. Family-owned and locally operated, offering a large selection of rugs sourced from around the world, providing cleaning, repair, and appraisal services to care for your investment. Learn more at rugexposd.org.